Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So again, good evening. Nice to be here. Last Monday, we were 2 hours outside of New York, returning from our vacation in Mexico. And I was feeling a mixture of sadness to be leaving the beach after many days of sunshine and 85 degrees and reading. I read 5 books, just speaking about this earlier, and took a whole stack of student reflection papers. And I just had a really, really great time catching up on stuff. Oh, and a whole year's worth of, you know, the op-ed pages from the Times that I always put over to the side to read later on my desktop, but never do. So I printed all those out. And so I had a great little number of days. And I always get antsy around the, just about 2 days prior to having to return, I always get a little, maybe for 3 days, I was like, I just want to go home. I want to get back to New York. I'm tired of the sun. I'm tired of hanging out, relaxing. I want to get back into the city. But I was also feeling, this year, a little kind of not rushing to get back here. So it was a mixed bag. So I was just thinking about, I don't know why I'm talking about this, it's just, I guess because it's Monday. And I was thinking of the difference between last Monday, the weather in the morning as we were on the beach, and then this morning, which isn't so bad. But we didn't have all these sirens every 5 minutes going past us, and two very different worlds I found myself living in. And now I'm back in Manhattan, back to everything that it has to offer. The noise, the craziness, the beauty, the wonderful, wonderful air of the holidays. You can feel Manhattan coming to life in a different way than we do in the summer or the fall, even though in the fall everything seems to be dying off. So much else is coming to life. And the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, and no matter how much you hate it or dislike it or love it, the stores and the Christmas windows. And for me, it's Christmas, for me, being a Christian, it's a lot of nostalgia around it, so I kind of like it a lot. And tonight is the second night of Hanukkah, so my partner being Jewish, me being Christian, although I think he's more Christian than I am because he's the one hawking me for the Christmas tree already. Like, when are we going to get the tree? When are we going to get the tree? I'm like, Christmas Eve we'll get the tree. But so we'll probably get the tree this weekend and do the whole thing. I'm off on a tangent here. There's a koan I'd like to talk a little bit about this evening. Koan, for those of you who are not familiar, is a teaching story for in the Zen tradition, riddles sometimes they're called, but really they're teaching stories, usually between a monk and a student, a master and a student, not always, but most of the time. A monk once wanted to ask Unman a question and started to say, The light serenely shines over the whole universe. Before he had even finished the first line, Unman suddenly interrupted. Isn't that the poem of Chosetsu Shusai? The monk answered, yes, it is. Unman said, you have missed it. Later, Master Shishin took up this koan and said, now, tell me, why has the monk missed it? Anybody know? You should. Before he had even finished the first line, Unman interrupted. Isn't that the poem of Shosetsu Shusai? The monk answered, yes, it is. Unman said, you have missed it. So what he's pointing to here is, you know, he comes to the master and he's going to ask him a question, you know, the student probably wants thinking of some profound question to ask and wants to show how smart he is. And he's kind of plagiarizing a little bit. He starts with the first line of a poem from a very famous poet. And Unman said, you've missed it. You know, there's no point going any further. Because you're not coming with your whole self, just you, who you are. What is your question? What does this have to do with anyone else's poetry? For me, what this koan is saying to me at this time, and this koan practice, they change all the time. I could read this koan next month, next week, and it would have a totally different meaning for me. But right now what's present is, I think the line about, for me, is it's not about living someone else's life. It's about living your own. The life that you have been given, as difficult or as easy as it is life. This precious life. You know, every evening we end with the evening gatha, chanting, you know, do not squander your life. It's very easy to get caught up in what I have and what I don't have around this time of year when we see the ads on TV and, you know, all these wonderful families and that have these perfect Christmases with a tree, and then there's a car outside with a big red bow on it, and it's like, you know, hubby bought the wife a new Toyota or something, or a Nissan, and it's like, wow, yeah, you know, and the snow's coming down and the kids are all in their little J. Crew sweaters. It's like, would that my life had been like that. You know? It's not the life I was given. And so many people think that that's real. If they don't have that, then my Christmas, my holiday, whatever holiday we're celebrating, is a failure. Look at my no good husband. Why don't I have a new, brand new Toyota in the driveway? Right? Look at my ungrateful wife. I got her a gift card from Amazon and she wants a K's diamond. You know? This is not the life. It's not what it's about. How do we simply be present to what is? And some days, you know, the externals are much more intense. How do we maintain our equilibrium? I was speaking to someone via Skype earlier today. Um, a young woman in her 40s, very, very complicated health situation, in the ICU right now, not in New York, so I couldn't visit in person, so we did a Skype visit. And she is waiting for a kidney transplant. It was very moved by, she's a practitioner, she's a longtime practitioner actually of Buddhism. I was very moved by her and also saddened by this idea that she has of someone has offered to be the donor and they're a match. And this woman who has had not say the cleanest of lives, the most holy of lives. I mean, she's like a lot of us, went down the wrong path. And she is really not at ease, has not come to terms with the fact that someone has offered her a kidney. And she's thinking that maybe a five-year-old girl or a five-year-old boy or a younger person who has not yet made the mistakes that she's made in her life would be more deserving of it. And I found that heartbreaking. Because the more I got to talk to her, the more she talked about all the wonderful things that she's done in her life since she got sober. And she's done an incredible amount. And it hasn't been an easy life. Didn't start out easy. It certainly wasn't easy when she was in her addictions. But now, in the last 15 years or so, she's made some great changes and done a lot for other people. And her abuse has taken its toll on her body. Not only internally, but externally, how she looks. And she got into comparing her own body to the body of someone else, someone younger, healthier, who possibly had a better chance at life than she had. And we talked about this very koan. This is your body. This is your life. These are the opportunities that you have been given. These are the chances you took. These are the unskillful decisions you made. At the end of the day, though, this is you lying here in this hospital bed now, in the ICU. How can you be fully present to who you are in this body, as fragile as it is? And there's a lot going on. I mean, now she has pneumonia. She may not even get the transplant. She's very fragile. So my work with her, I think, is to help her realize that she is as deserving as the next person for whatever arrives. It's so difficult for some of us to appreciate the gift of this life. We think the gifts come from Bergdorf's or from Amazon. We think those are the gifts that are going to make this life perfect or enhance this life. Think about this woman who has been suffering for many years finally being given the opportunity to get a kidney transplant, and she's thinking, no, I'll give it to a 5-year-old. One of our Sangha members, Pat Daggy, is here on Monday nights. Her son Aaron died at 3 o'clock this morning. 46 years old. Just became the father of twin children, boy and a girl, two girls, twins. Just a couple of months ago. 46. How do you appreciate your life? We say this over and over. It's almost every month we say something along the lines of, how are you taking care of yourself? You don't know what this life holds for you. We run around thinking, you know, when I'm 70, 80, 90, then I'll do this. When I retire, I'll do this. What about today? What did you do today to appreciate your life? To appreciate the people who are most important to you? May have been your last chance. There's a famous haiku. Like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, I vanish. Like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, I vanish. That's it right there. There's another poem talks about the whole world is contained within the dewdrop. The entire universe. And think about the dewdrop on the leaf or the blade of grass. This is actually someone's death poem. I think it was Isan. His death poem. Japanese monk, poet. Like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, I vanish. Just as each of you in this room will vanish. Just as Pat Daggy's 46-year-old son vanished at 3 o'clock this morning. Just as this lady who I was Skyping with today, 44 years of age, very frail, possibly. So please, as we enter into this holiday season, think about the real gifts that this practice has to offer. This practice of, whatever your practice is, of meditation, of self-reflection, of prayer, bring yourself to it wholeheartedly. That's an idea. Thank you.